Welcome to the Every Nation Taipei podcast. We're here to help you know God, discover your purpose, grow in your relationships, and make a difference in Taipei, Taiwan, and beyond. We hope this message encourages you today.
Today we're going into our series again on margins, just talking about margins in our lives. And let's see, definition of a margin. Margin is a space between our load and our limits. So in other words, if your work schedule carries you 24 hours and your limit of time is 24 hours, you have no margin. If every day you need like 8 hours of sleep and you're working 16 hours a day, then you have no margin left. If you make, you know, $10,000 a month and you're spending $10,000 a month, you have no margin. So margin is this, that space between your load and your limit. And what we're talking about today is that God created us to live with margins. Today's going to be a kind of a really practical service. So are y'all good with that? Very practical. You're going to get a chance to practice putting some margins into even our church service time. All right, so here we go. Just to help you, here's some books that we recommend you can read if you want to know more about margins. One is called Margin, and that's a great book. Just kind of really sets the foundations of what it means to set margins in your life. Boundaries. Without boundaries, you can't set margins. And then Emotionally Healthy Spirituality has to do a lot with our emotions and how, as we serve God, we maintain healthy boundaries or healthy margins emotionally and spiritually in our lives. So those are three good books. If this series has been good for you, you want to learn and apply more. Quick overview of our series. We start off with an overview of margins. Last Sunday, we hit on relationships and how relationships happen in the margins and how we need especially emotional margins in our relationships. And then today we're going to be covering time. Next Sunday, you're going to love next Sunday. We're going to do finances. Kevin Twillard is going to share us. Actually, his church, he was the one who suggested this series on margins. His church back in Texas, they did this series on margins. And it's been great doing that here. So he'll be doing next week. All right. So here we go. The title of our sermon today is Make the Best Use of Your One and Only Life. You're given one life to live. 70 years, 80 years, if you're like my mom, 95 years, you might be 120. However many years you're given, you still only have one life to live. And the question is, what are you going to do with the years and the hours, the days, the months, the seconds, the minutes that you have on earth? I love that song from, is it Rent? Yeah, they go there, how many, 525,600 minutes, yes, something like that. So, you know, they count up, but every minute counts. What are you going to use your time for? We all have the same amount of time, and yet some people accomplish so much more in their time than others. And so how do we do that? How do we create the kind of margins and use of our time that helps us to accomplish more? So making the best use of our time. And here's our scripture for today. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 through 17. Look carefully then how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your word. And that, Father God, not only do you command us to make the best use of our time, but Lord, you instruct us and you guide us and you help us in the use of our time. I pray that during these moments that we share together today, Lord, that you would open up your word to us. We just invite your Holy Spirit to come and to speak to us in life-transforming ways. God, we say to your Holy Spirit, come and put your finger on areas in our life. Give instruction and wisdom to each and every one of us today. That, Lord, we would live more fruitful lives for your kingdom purposes. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, quick overview. Simple sermon today. Number one, you must manage your time. And number two, make time for what matters. Okay, so you are the one who's responsible for managing your time. And what you should do is make sure that you're making time for what matters. So let's jump on into it. Number one, you must manage your time. you are responsible, nobody else, for the management of your time. So when you mess up, it's on you. When you do great, it's on you. But we have power over our time, and we have to make the best use of that. And some of us, you know, like this past Monday, every Monday night, we have all church prayer. We have our corporate prayer time. And it's at 9 p.m. at night, and it's on Zoom. And so this last Monday night, I was in charge, and 9 p.m. rolled around, and my wife and I were just, you know, caught up in our world. And then 9:30 rolled around, which is when the prayer ends. And then about 9:36, my wife said, "We got prayer tonight." And I said, "Oh." So looked at our phones and these text messages. Anybody leading prayer? What's going on with prayer? Let's all pray, you know. Totally missed the prayer time. Which is, you know, one thing if you're like one part of the congregation. It's another thing if you're the pastor of the congregation. And it's another thing when it's your turn to lead the prayer time. So praise God, you know. I'm speaking to myself sometimes here in this thing. And I wanted to blame, you know, my initial thing is I wanted to blame somebody else. You know, I had a trance, the Holy Spirit hit me, and I just fell out of the pot. You know, whatever it might be. My mama called, you know, my uncle has cancer, whatever it could be. You know, I just said something. But it was just, we just totally lost track of time. And we must manage our time. I don't know if anybody else ever had an embarrassing moment like that where you just like lost track of the time. Some of us are very disciplined and some of us not so much. But you must manage your time. And this is what the Bible says about that. Making the best use of the time because the days are evil. God will not come down and zap you. I mean, I had a bunch of friends who were like super spiritual. We had this group of folks in our church in Hawaii, and they were like super mystical. You ever had friends like that, like super mystical, super spiritual? And they were like, "We're going to learn to hear God's voice." And the Bible says, "My sheep will know my voice." And so we as humans, the Bible says actually that no one would be in church like this. No one would want to know God except that God was drawing them. So all of us have some of the influence of God in our lives. There's never been a civilization in the history of humanity that has not had religion of some sort, some way of pursuing God. So in some sense, we all are aware of God. We all have this recognition that God is there. But in our lives, but these guys were like, "No, I'm gonna, like, God's gonna tell me what to wear every day." And like, they got rid of their clocks, their cars. They put paper over the speedometer to say, "God's gonna help. The Holy Spirit's gonna tell me when I'm speeding." I don't think that's what God is talking about, you know. But I think we are responsible. If you speed, you can't say, "Well, the Holy Spirit didn't stop me." If you wake up late for work, you can't say, "Well, you know, God didn't wake me up." You're responsible for your time. It's a gift from God to you, but you have to manage it because God's intention is that all of us would grow up and mature in Him and be able to make decisions that mirror our Heavenly Father's heart. That's God's desire. So He gives us a lot of instruction, and He gives us the Holy Spirit to help to guide us, but we also need to learn to make decisions that align with God's heart, that reflect His values, and manage our time in that way. That would reflect God. So we have to manage our time. So we'll give you a few time management skills. You can take these home with you if you want, just so you have something practical to do. Number one, survey. Take a survey of how you're using your time. You want to be good at time management, find out how you are managing your time. Where's the time going? And so one thing that's good to do, you take a little spreadsheet, print out, you know, just break the day, each day down, Monday through Sunday, break it down 24 hours, and just each day at the end of the day, just say, or in the morning from the day before, say, how much time did I spend in different things? How did I spend my last 24 hours? And just do that for a week or 2 weeks, and it starts to give you a picture of how you actually spend your time. If you don't recognize how you actually spend your time, then you're going to have difficulty managing your time. If you had no idea how much money you had or where you spent your money, you'd have real difficulty managing your money. I don't want, you know, anybody who's investing for me or my bank to not know where the money is. Ah, you know, I know we have some of your money in there, some with some of those, but we don't have time to really count it all. You know, I said, no, you count that. You know, I want to know. And time is more valuable than money. But sometimes we just don't count it. We don't take the time to evaluate how much we have, what we're doing with it. So survey, prioritize. There's that I think I have it here. This that Eisenhower matrix, right? What's urgent, what's important, what's not urgent, what's unimportant. And you want to say, let's make sure we do the things that are urgent and important first. Let's make sure we schedule the things that are important but not urgent so that they don't get lost in the stuff. Things that are urgent but unimportant, sometimes you just have to ignore those things and learn to just ignore that voice saying, do this. You think, that's not really important. And the things that are unimportant and not urgent, sometimes you just have to take those completely off and let someone else do them. Okay? So prioritize. Put God first. As followers of God, we want to put him first in our lives. Recognize that margins matter. Does your schedule have margins in it? Are you putting margins in it? I loved how, as we were studying this, we saw how Jeff Bezos, he says, beginning of the day, I just want to kind of putter around. I always put into my time just some puttering around time in the morning. And I start my day that way with just not doing anything too serious, because I find that when I do that first in the day, in other words, I create this margin at the beginning of my day, I'm more creative and productive the rest of my day. So margins matter. And another thing with prioritizing, sometimes do the difficult, unpleasant, but important thing, do that first. Because if not, you'll just keep pushing it off. Okay, schedule. You should have a daily, weekly, monthly, and annual schedule. You should know, what are the things that I need to do every year? Remembering my mom's birthday, my brother's birthday, my wife's, our anniversary. These are the things we need to remember every day. I need to remember Christmas, to buy my wife Christmas gifts, because I have forgotten, which made Christmas morning kind of awkward. But it's really good that she's super gracious and just laughed about it with her armful of gifts and my nothing. So remember, right? What are the monthly things that you need to put into the schedule? What are the weekly things? What are the daily things that you put into your schedule? To-do lists. Make yourself some to-do lists. Put time limits, deadlines on things. Okay, so schedule. Schedule things. If there's things that are important, put it on the schedule. Focus. Remove distractions from your schedule. I remember this guy, he loved donuts. And every day on the way to work in the morning, he would always buy donuts. And he found himself getting fatter and fatter. And he found himself being, you know, just always having to get up earlier and head out to work and getting rushing out the door. And then he realized, it's because I go way out of my way to walk past this donut shop every morning to get donuts on the way to work. And it's making my schedule tighter, and it's making my pants tighter. So I just need to stop that, you know? And so he had to cut out distractions from his life. And he found out he could live without donuts. It's amazing, you know? Cut out the distractions from your schedule. Just say no. You got to learn to just say no to things. If you want to do the best, sometimes you have to get rid of the better. I remember my friend when he was starting out trying to be an investor. And at first, he was just trying to get anybody to invest. You got $5,000? Invest with me. Whatever you got, you know, and just invest. And he was always on the verge of being fired by who he worked for, Merrill Lynch. He was always on the verge of just barely making it, you know. And then he started to finally hit his rhythm. And then over the years, he's like, okay, if you don't have 100 grand, okay, if you don't have, you know, just kind of kept going up 50 grand, 100 grand, 500 grand, you can't invest with me. And so all those others, he just started giving away to others. But in order to spend time on the more important clients, he had to remove some of the lesser important clients. Not that he didn't love them. It's just like he was never going to make money if he just keeps, you just invest your $1,000 with me. Okay, so sometimes you have to just say no. And then avoid multitasking, unless you're really good at it, which very few of us are. It's multitasking, actually, over the long haul, for most people, makes them less effective at everything that they do. So you must manage your time. Here we go, all right? So number two, we're halfway through our sermon, ready to go. Make time for what matters. Ephesians 5:17 says, don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. So here's a quick little story from the Bible about what matters. This is a story that Jesus told in order to explain what really matters. So one day, an expert, this is the setting for the story that Jesus told. This is what actually happened. One day, an expert in religious law stood up to test Jesus by asking him this question. Teacher, what should I do to inherit life, eternal life? In other words, what's the most important thing in life? What matters for eternity? Jesus replied, what does the law of Moses say? How do you read it? The man answered, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength, all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Right, Jesus told him, do this and you will live. So, what matters? First of all, love God. We got to just take time to love God. If that's the most important thing in life, then this should be the first thing on your schedule. This is the thing that really shouldn't be, you know, so many of us think, well, my margins are what's left over after I do all the important things, and then in the margins is where I'm going to put God. My time with God. If I have time, if I'm awake enough, if I wake up early enough, or I'm still awake enough at night, then I'll fit God into that time. But Jesus said it's the opposite. Loving God is the most important thing. And so you need to put that first and just make time in your schedule to love God. And so we're just going to take a moment right now to love God. Because a lot of love comes down to just communication. Taking time out to sit and to talk. And so on your chairs, you should have gotten one of those envelopes. Did we get envelopes? So everybody should have one of these. We feel that communicating with God is even more important than listening to Bruce lecture. So we're just going to take a couple of minutes here to communicate with God. So in these, if you open it up like this, there's an area up here called prayer requests. Okay, and then answered prayers. I want you to just take 3 or 4 minutes. Tell God what you need or what is on your heart. Scripture says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. And so you just want to take a moment. Tell God whatever's on your heart that you want to tell him. And then if anything you want to thank him for, just write it there in answered prayers. We believe in the power of prayer. We believe in the power of agreement together in prayer. And we love just standing, we want to be a church that where we stand with one another in prayer. All right, so you can go ahead and we're going to keep moving and you can finish that. Second thing, what matters is love people. Love God. Love people. Going on in the story that Jesus then told. Says the man, this young man, this teacher said he wanted to justify his actions. So he asked Jesus, so who is my neighbor? Because Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself. So he's starting to feel convicted. And like I do oftentimes when I start feeling convicted about something, I want to find a loophole. I want to find someone else to blame. I want to shift, you know, the attention away from me. So who is my neighbor? And then Jesus replied with a story. A Jewish man was traveling from Jerusalem down to Jericho, and he was attacked by bandits. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him up, and left him half dead beside the road. By chance, a priest came along. Yay for priests. We know he's going to come along and help the guy, you know, because they're such good people, priests. But when he saw the man lying there, he crossed to the other side of the road and passed him by. I'm sure the priest had really important things to do, some study the Bible or plan a church service or something. A temple assistant walked over, and for sure, an assistant, he's going to stop, you know, because that's what he does. He assists, and he's a godly man who works at the church. He walked over, looked at him lying there. We're anticipating he's going to help the man. He sees this guy's broken, beat up, left there. But he also passed by on the other side. Bummer. Then a despised Samaritan came along. And the Jews and the Samaritans hated each other. The Jews looked down on the Samaritans, and the Samaritans hated the Jews. And when he saw the man who was a Jew, he felt compassion for him. And going over to him, the Samaritan soothed his wounds with olive oil and wine and bandaged them. Then he put the man on his own donkey and took him to an inn where he took care of him. The next day he handed the innkeeper 2 silver coins, telling him, take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time I'm here. And so here's this Samaritan man. And I don't know if it's just that the priests and the temple worker, that they just didn't have any margins, time margins in their life, didn't have the time to do it, or they just had no emotional margin because the Jews looked down on the Samaritans. In fact, there was a rule that Jews couldn't eat or go into the homes of Samaritans, and they shouldn't allow Samaritans to eat with them or to come into their home. That was, there were, when we talk about, you know, prejudice, racism, there's pretty heavy racism back in these days, and there's a deep divide between Jews and Samaritans. And so maybe there was, you know, maybe these Jews, you know, they should have been the ones who reached out to their Jewish compatriot. But somewhere they had either no emotional margin, or they had no time margin, or they just were way too religious and were more interested in their religious activity than actually loving people. And they missed the whole point that God said, number one is love God. Number two, love people. More important than our religious activity. But it was the Samaritan who the Jew would have looked down on, who he and the Jew would have been enemies, prejudiced against each other. It was the Samaritan who took the time, who stopped on his journey, cared for the man, took out of his supplies of oil and treated the man's wounds, took out of his supply of finances and said, paid for the man, put him in an inn. And said, whatever else is needed, I'm going to cover it. I'm going to take out of my margin, my extra. And that's why margins are important, because out of the margins comes love and generosity and blessing. And sometimes it's difficult, you know, but God calls us to love people. Now, some of us are extroverts and some are introverts. And I know that for all you introverts, it's going to be a tough thing to express love to people. And I know that sitting amongst us, sitting next to you, may be an introvert. And so I want to just take a moment and encourage one another. So turn to someone next to you. They might be an introvert. And just encourage them. Say, "This, it's going to be okay. You can be friendly to somebody today. It's going to be all right." And if their eyes grow wide with fear, or they suddenly have to go to the restroom, just say, "It's, you know, it's okay. You know, it's going to be all right. You don't have to chase them down, you know." We're just going to take some time right now in the service to just practice loving someone else. And so often, loving someone else just means taking the time and showing a little bit of interest in them. Just making a little bit of eye contact, saying hello. Fine, we have this method. It's SALT, not taken from SALT Collective, but the SALT method of how to build a relationship with someone. You know, you start a conversation. So just start a conversation, just engage with someone, and then ask questions, and then listen to their answers, and then follow up that by telling them. So let's do this. Here's some questions for you. You can memorize these, remember these, because we're going to give you a few minutes to turn to someone, find someone you don't know, okay? Find someone you don't know. And the first thing you can do is ask them, hi, what's your name? Actually, before you do this, say, hi, I'm Bruce. What's your name? Okay, so practice your name. Everybody remember your name? Hi, I'm Susan. Hi, I'm Ted. Yes, okay. What's your name? It's not too hard. It's a little more difficult. I know it's difficult when you meet like a stranger. So that's why we're letting you practice it first. So, because if you're like me, sometimes, you know, you meet a stranger and it's just like, boom. I remember meeting this the actress from Rent, Rosario Dawson. Yeah, she came to our church, and so I meet her, and like I know who she is, I know what she does, but I've never seen any of her movies. And so I go to meet her, you know, and say, hi, you know, I'm Rosario, hi, I'm Bruce. And it's kind of like I'm stuck, like I can't say, what do you do? I loved your movies. I'm just stuck. And it was just this awkward silence. Okay, you know, I hope she asked me a question, because I don't know what to say to her, you know. So here, we're giving you some stuff to practice so you don't have your Rosario Dawson moment like me. Second question. Here's a good follow-up question. Where are you from, or what do you do? Those are just simple questions. Where are you from? We're from places all over the world, and all over Taiwan or Taipei. And then if you have time, you can do a third question. How long have you been coming to Every Nation? It's my first time. I've been here every Sunday. Where have you been? How long have you been coming? And how did you get here? You know, how did you find out about the church or who invited you? So you think you can do that? So everybody stand up. And as you're standing, just kind of rise up in your spirit too. I know this is tough. And it's, again, look at someone. If someone looks scared next to you, encourage them. Keep telling them you can do this. And now look for someone you don't know. Look for someone you don't know. Let me ask you a question. How many of you here consider yourself an introvert? Let's see how the show of hands. All the introverts. Let's give all the introverts a hand. You guys did awesome. Oh, it wasn't so painful, was it? It was okay. So these are simple things that we just learned to do in order to make margin in our lives. We just have to take time. We have to, first of all, make a margin in our time to actually meet people and take the time. And then we have to just make a little bit of margin in our hearts to allow some other folks in and to be willing to give a little bit of ourselves away. Because that's really what you're doing, is you share something of yourself and you listen to their story. But I want to encourage you to just develop that habit. Every Sunday when you come, look for someone that you can share your story with and someone that you can hear their story. And it's just a way of connecting with folks. And this is really what the kingdom of God is meant to be. That kind of sharing. Kingdom of God church is not actually meant to be listening to a lecture. It's actually meant to be sharing life. Because the Bible says actually that where the church gets healthy and grows, the book of Ephesians says, is where every joint supplies. In other words, wherever one member of the body of Christ connects with someone else, that's where life happens. That's where growth begins to take place. And so as a church, we want to create just more room and encourage us to have a culture of just connecting. I love it when it's hard to corral everybody back after, you know, greeting time or at the start of the service, or people just hang out at the end of service. I love when we go and fill up multiple restaurants in the area, and then it's hard to get people out of the restaurants. They're just talking and talking, because that's really what life should be like. That we enjoy connecting with others. And the more that you do it, the more you're going to enjoy it. And it's the same with your time with God. The more that you spend time with God, the more you learn to hear Him and learn to have Him speak to you through the scriptures and through your times of prayer, the more you're going to love those times. King David said this. He said, you know, I have all the wealth of the world available to me. All the fun events, entertainments, foods, drinks, all that. But he said, I would rather spend a day one day in the courts of God, in the presence of God, than 1,000 anywhere else. So I so treasure those times that I spend with God. But we only start to enjoy them as we invest time into them. The Bible also says that when we come together and pray, when we agree together with others, two or three together, there's actually an extra power in that. There's a heightened awareness of God that comes whenever we come together and agree together in prayer. That's why we do prayer times on Monday nights and just join together online. And at the end of every service, we always spend time, we always just offer and say, if you want prayer, we'll have some of our leaders up here. And we're happy to pray with you, because there's just something about agreeing together in prayer that you get one human, and God there. And it's a powerful combination of the three of us agreeing together in prayer. So we're going to close our service that way.
Thank you for listening. We pray this message spoke to you and built your faith. For more messages like this, visit our website at everynationtaipei.com. You can also send a prayer request and reach out to us anytime. God bless you. Till next time.